Let's talk NFL football now. This weekend, it's the game. These two teams hate each other. These two fan bases hate each other. Some people, like me, can barely say the word because that's just kind of how I was raised. I mean, I had hatred for this team when I was a little boy. You're not supposed to have hatred for anybody as a little boy, right? But, you know, I got two words for you, D. Orlando Ledbetter, to describe why this happened to me. Big Ben plays. You remember that back in the day?
Oh, yeah, no question about it.
Had some crazy games. I mean, when I started watching football, those Falcons and the Saints and Steve Barkowski and what's that guy's name who used to play quarterback for him?
Oh, Archie.
Yeah, him. Man, Daryl, they had some wars, and even when they were both awful, they had wars. I mean, I have always said, and I would love your thoughts, it's got to be one of the more underrated rivalries in the NFL, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, no question about it. It's come to the fore here in the last 10, 15 years when both teams kind of got good. But certainly, not up there with the Packers and the Bears in football lore, but certainly for the South, it's the best football rivalry out there.
No doubt. No doubt about it. And it's not going to be pretty this weekend. It looks like, obviously, New Orleans has a very big advantage over this 1-7 Falcons team, but the Falcons at least will have Matt Ryan back, correct?
Correct. That is correct. And Coach Dan is pulling out all the stops, calling it a new season, and saying, you know, pointing out to the team that this is the 100th meeting between the Falcons and the Saints in the regular season. There was one playoff game,
yep,
which would make it 101. But he's going all for it with the history and tradition, and he's going for it with his quarterback.
52-48, Atlanta leads the overall series, including that one playoff game. Well, the Saints have had Atlanta's number three in a row, and, of course, Sean Payton against the Falcons. He is enjoying his time playing the rival, 18-8. And I think, you know, we talked with you about this a while ago, and I think it took Dan Quinn a little bit of a couple of years to figure out this rivalry. Sean Payton's kind of known from day one how this thing goes, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah, no question about it. And they give him the one win and one loss for the Bounty Hunter year when they had Joe Fitt as the interim coach, 17-7 or 18-8, however you want to slice it. He's on top in this series. He, came in with Jim Mora, been through Bobby Petrino and Mike Smith, and now Dan Quinn here owning the operation. So Smitty got off to a good start there, but then Sean took it back over. So, he's been all about doing it to the Falcons since he's been down there.
Daryl, what were your thoughts earlier this week when the Falcons made those changes to the coaching staff?
I was like, what took you so long? You have a lot of money invested on the offensive side of the ball, and you got all those coaches stacked over there. Mularkey, Cutter, and Greg Knapp, and Raheem Morris is a defensive guy. So, and he wasn't moving up the ranks as a, you know, coordinator type talent, which is why I thought he moved over there to make himself a better head coaching candidate. So at some point with the secondary running amok, it made absolute sense to move him back over there. You just kind of wonder what took so long.
Was it wrong in the first place to move him to offense in hindsight?
But what was happening at that time was Shanahan and Ryan were feuding that first year. Shanahan and Ryan, Roddy White, I mean, and he needed somebody that he trusted over there in that room. So he put, you know, his guy Raheem that he coached in college at Hofstra over there to kind of smooth things out for him and get him operating at a high level. And once, you know, Kyle was gone, there was really no reason for Raheem to be over there. Also, Terry Rubisky left, and he wanted a strong receivers coach in that room with a lot of talent to make sure those guys stayed on point. So, it was a understandable move.
D. Orlando Ledbetter, our guest from Atlanta Journal-Constitution, AJC.com. If this game goes as some expect, which is ugly, and that New Orleans could really kind of smell the blood in the water here, if this is a bad loss for Atlanta, is Dan Quinn still the coach on Monday for the Falcons?
Yeah, I think so, Bill. I think the owner certainly wants him to see it through, make it to the end, and then they'll sit down and make decisions there. Is that plausible? You get nothing out of blowing out the coach here in the middle of the season where, you know, then you risk losing what you have left of the team at that point because you're rallying around somebody you know is not going to be here.
Yeah.
So I understand why they're trying to see it through. But if it gets bad here and bad in Charlotte next week on the 17th, then, you know, all bets are off.
Well, and I agree with that as well. I just hate, not necessarily for Arthur Blank's situation, but you know that if it's bad, you and all the other reporters are going to go right to Arthur Blank again on Sunday. I mean, that's your job, and you've got to do it. He's going to have to answer the questions again, and it probably will happen repeatedly in this second half of the season, won't it?
Yeah, you know, especially if they keep playing like they are and, you know, 144-50 in the first half of games, they can't get that turned around. You know, that's going to be a problem. They got to play a game. They got to play a whole game. They've only been able to put together parts of games. You know, Arizona, they get three stops. We're ready to have a parade in the press box. Like, you know, the first half against Houston, it was pretty good, 17-16. Then the bottom falls out. So this team hasn't been able to play. He's only played one whole game this year, and that was against Philadelphia, and they needed a fourth down conversion and a fourth down stop to get out of there with that win. So, you know, if they can't get them together to play a whole game with, you know, the money invested in the roster, that's going to not bode well for the coaching staff as it's currently constituted.
Darryl, Devontae Freeman's got 333 rushing yards in the first half of the season. Can he double that? Can he get to 666 or push 700, or can he do better or worse?
Well, I think he can do better. I think he's been in a bad situation where the line has been where they had to pass the ball. They're behind 20-3, 21-0. You know, all the scores, 24-0 was one of the other scores. So, you know, they're throwing the ball. They're not really set up in run situations. And he was shaking off the rust early on in the season, hitting, missing holes and cutting back when he didn't have to cut back. And, you know, just the instincts weren't there. So if he can look at it as a new season for himself and pick him up some blocks, he needs some help from the line to get him to the second level. Maybe he can double that and maybe exceed it.
Do you see any way Atlanta can be competitive with this Saints team on Sunday?
Well, yeah, because, you know, these two teams always go at it. There's nothing in the books or any stat that you look at to say, hey, the Falcons got a shot here. The time of possession is in their favor. The turnover differential is in their favor. You got the number 4 run defense against the number 28 run offense. So there's nothing on the stats that tell you the Falcons can go down there and do this thing other than the rivalry issue. So if they want to stand up and show people that, hey, we're not that 1-7 team, this is the perfect opportunity for them to do that.
No doubt about that. That's for sure. It's I hate to be so negative and skeptical, but I just – see Sean Payton on that sideline and know how he's going to treat this game, because he's not going to have any sympathy for what's going on that other sideline, is he?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, he's the guy giving choke signals to Freeman, and, you know, they got 28-3 people out there at halftime. They don't really care much for the Falcons, and if you can kick your rival when they're down and kick them in the head, he's the guy that's going to do it. So he's a villain in all true sense. And, you know, if he gets a chance to rub their, you know, heads in the turf down there at the Superdome, he's going to do it.
Yep. No doubt about it. That's what scares me about this game on Sunday, no doubt. D. Orlando Ledbetter, I'll have it all covered for you online at theajc.com and, of course, in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. We hope you will check him out there and also on Twitter at theOrlandoAJC. Darryl, safe travels. Thank you so very much for your time. We'll talk to you again next week, okay?
All right, Bill. Take care. Thanks for having me.